You've probably seen the stories about how long it takes to charge an electric car. You've seen the stories about the limited range, and especially the limited towing range. Maybe even the stories about how electric vehicles have diminished performance during cold weather, just snowstorms, cold spells, whatever. But there's another reason to be wary of electric vehicles, at least until the marketplace is a lot more mature. And that is the fact that replacing parts for these cars is going to become increasingly difficult as the global supply lanes really crater in the years ahead. Now, many of these electric vehicles require replacement of their battery packs, the primary battery pack. In some cars, you have to replace it in 5 years, in other cars, 10 years. So there's going to be quite a large used marketplace of cars that need their batteries replaced fairly soon. And the question is, how are you going to get those replacement battery packs when the minerals, the metals that are required to manufacture those and the long, complex supply chains of manufacturing and labor and rare earth metals and minerals and commodities and all these things, when that is not going to be reliable as globalization collapses? And part of the reason globalization is collapsing is because, of course, we're moving into a multipolar world where the United States of America will no longer be the dominant naval force, keeping shipping supply lanes relatively free of piracy and so on. And the U.S. has been the dominant economic force, at least in terms of currency, the dollar, the petrodollar. Well, that's coming to an end. We're moving into a multipolar world in which there will be competing national and regional interests that will make shipping, international shipping, of commodities or processed materials or finished goods, it will make all of that far more expensive, less reliable, and ultimately more scarce. So this is the world that we are moving into. It is a world of scarcity and price inflation and difficult long supply chains and breakdowns and shortages and all of that. Now, if you have to replace a car engine, a combustion engine, those are easier to replace because they don't need as many complex parts and rare earth minerals, metals, and they don't need lithium and things like that. But even more importantly, you normally don't replace the engine of a car for the entire life of the car. The engine stays with it and it dies with it. But these battery packs have to be replaced, I believe, in most EVs at some point, because of course they have, you know, diminished performance and they don't hold a full charge anymore and so on. So the range of your electric car gets shorter and shorter and shorter for every year that you own it. Every time that you drive it, the range gets a little bit shorter. Whereas in a gasoline vehicle, you know, the range stays the same all throughout the life of the vehicle. But replacing electric battery pack is going to be, I think, a near impossible feat in 5 to 10 years, at least unless something dramatic changes in the way the world is going. But the way it's going right now is less international cooperation, competing economic systems. We have the BRICS Plus system versus the petrodollar. We have the United States shutting off Russia from the SWIFT system. And it looks like the U.S. and Western countries are going to use the SWIFT system punitively to try to shut off other nations with sanctions and basically being deplatformed from the global transactional settlement infrastructure. And as a result of this, you're going to have less international trade, which means less access to the minerals, the commodities, the smelting operations, the manufacturing. And then if you get a war with China, even if it's just an economic war, and China stops exports or China puts in place an economic embargo against Taiwan, then you have a microchip problem. And do you need microchips to build smart battery power packs for cars? Yes, you do. I have no doubt that there are components in those systems that come from Taiwan. And Taiwan is looking very vulnerable to China's aims of trying to, you know, conquer the independent island nation of Taiwan, because China wants it to be part of communist China. So I can source engines. You can even source engines from junkyards. If you need to replace an engine, you can find that probably in your own state. But you won't be able to find replacement battery packs for these vehicles unless you go to probably some combination of China, Korea, Taiwan, and Japan. And if we're in any kind of a conflict with China, those shipping lanes in that region, anywhere near the Straits of Taiwan, for example, are going to be combat zones, naval combat, and air blockades. You're not going to be able to easily get goods in and out of South Korea or Taiwan or even Japan for that matter. So global trade, especially in semiconductors and certain types of electronics, are going to be very strongly diminished. And you can't just say, oh, well, we'll make it in Mexico. You know, I'm sorry, but Mexico doesn't have the infrastructure nor even, frankly, the kind of culture that, say, Japan has. Japan excels at making complex, you know, microelectronics and semiconductors and embedded system hardware. That skill set is an extension of the culture of Japan, being that Japan is a culture of precision and of exactness and of a kind of engineering artistry, right? That's part of the Japanese culture. And the extension of that becomes their industry, which is very, very good at manufacturing, you know, complex electronics. That is not American culture. That is not Mexican culture. That is not African culture, or frankly, you know, Southeast Asian culture as much, or Indian culture. That is Japanese culture. And that's why Japan excels at that kind of manufacturing. So we need to understand that the cultural strengths of nations around the world, for example, Germany, very good at making robust, overbuilt, rugged systems, right? Very good at that. America has its own strengths as well. America also makes very rugged, very, you know, hard use type of systems. The UK, very good at assembling and engineering complex systems that use microprocessors from Taiwan or from Japan and so on. Mexico, very good at assembling systems or subsystems that are made in Taiwan or made in Japan. You know, Mexico is good at doing the final assembly because the people in Mexico are willing to work. And then those finished goods, such as Dodge Ram trucks, for example, get exported to the United States. But when global trade is interrupted and globalization itself is collapsing, you lose these international advantages. And then you end up having to try to make, you know, Japanese quality complex microprocessor systems in Texas, for example. Well, it can be done. You know, Texas Instruments used to do it, but modern day culture in Texas does not really consist of people who want to work, frankly. I mean, especially the younger people. I don't mean everybody, but I'm talking about the younger generation, the woke culture. They don't want to work. And the older people in Texas who are willing to work are getting older and getting closer to retirement age. So you really have limitations on this. So if you're thinking about buying an electric vehicle, I want to encourage you, I want to remind you to be aware that you may be buying something that you cannot maintain on the day that you have to replace that battery pack. That might be an impossibility some years down the road. And once that is realized by many people, then the value of these systems, these cars, these trucks, or what have you, these EVs, their value is strongly diminished if people realize that they can't drive them, you know, 3 years later or 7 years later or whatever the case may be. So keep that in mind. Personally, I think Toyota has it right with hybrid systems because those battery packs last for the life of the car, still has an engine. I think that Dodge has it right. I think GMC has it right. I think that EVs are too early, not sustainable. And right now, if you're looking at a vehicle, I would still buy a combustion engine vehicle. That's what I would do. But, you know, decide on your own. But thank you for listening and considering all this. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com, and also brighteon.com. Take care.